everybody, and welcome to episode 144 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who doesn't care if his potato head is called Mr. or Mrs. because he's putting it up his ass either way. It's Brian. Brian, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right, Ron. It is Thursday. It is the last Thursday of the month of February. That means one thing. In about an hour and a half, we're going to be setting it off with our monthly pajama party over on Patreon. We like to call it the After Dark Show, and it's going to be sexy.
Listen, we talk about it often, and we put the banner up. You go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, click on the link in the upper right corner to become a patron. If you join at bronze or higher, you get access to our live After Dark that we do each night, each Thursday night at 9:30. Tonight, of course, is our Pajama Jammy Jam, where we get all of our Patreon subscribers to join us on the show. So it is usually a party. I don't anticipate this week will be any different. I think it'll be a good time. A good time will be had by all.
May I predict it will be the best one yet?
I like your optimism. I really do.
There we go. Yep. Episode 144, Ron. Did you ever think we were going to get to this milestone?
I did not. I was talking with the wife the other day, and I'm like, it's been almost 3 years since you and I reconnected at the WCDB reunion in Albany. Mm-hmm. Back in 2018, I'm like, in May is 3 years. And I think it was more disappointing for her that it's gone on this long than congratulatory. But that's all right. We're gonna keep doing it.
Why do you think it's disappointing for her?
I just think she felt it was something that we'd do for fun for a while. And I really don't think it would have the legs that it has proven to be.
But is it impeding on her ability to enjoy her life in any way? I don't think so.
I mean, I think she appreciates my company, and I would think she enjoys the couple of hours away from me on a Thursday night every week. But who knows?
One would imagine. However, I like to believe that she is downstairs in your house watching this on her phone.
You would like to think that, but spoiler alert, she is watching saved episodes of The Bachelor.
No.
Yep.
Why? Why? She's
finally catching up on the episode where Heather from Colton season comes back.
Stop it. Stop it. By the way, the whiteboard's coming down.
Yeah, it's coming down, and I'm not fixing it anymore. God damn it. I drew my line in the sand. In the meantime, I need to have a drink. I don't know about you.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Who's?
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, as always, we check with you first. What are you drinking this week? Oh, it looks like a little coffee-flavored beverage this week.
Yes, Ron, this week I went out to Minnesota, reached out to the fine people, our friends over at Surly Brewing Company. They make a very fine Bender Brown Ale, which is, you know, oatmeal-based. But they recently came out with a coffee Bender Brown Ale. It's their regular Bender brew, but with a cold press coffee brewing process. What they do is they steep 20 gallons of their Bender Ale at a time. So this beer will pop up all over the place, not just at their brewery, but also coffee festivals throughout the country, coming in an ABV of 5.1.
Take a
coffee
sip.
Flavors. Nutty. It's going to be roasty.
It's going to be nutty in your mouth. Let's see how you like it.
You know, I've had a lot of nuts in my mouth. I've been nutted in my mouth, and I'm going to say that's pretty damn good.
All right. Very nice.
That is pretty damn good.
So this week, breaking out something from an older Tavor case that's been in the beer fridge for a while. This is from Fatheads Brewery. This is their Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale. Award-winning, they say it's the most refreshing beer in America. Let's take a look at that that hue, Brian. It's got a honey-ish, not quite blueberry hue, but we'll see how it tastes.
No, but I imagine it's going to be packed with blueberry flavor.
Oh, that is actually very good.
You're enjoying it. Listen, I know when you go for the second sip right afterwards that it's a beer you like.
Two sips. So kudos to Fathead for the Bumbleberry, clocking it at 5.3%. Trying to keep myself relatively clear going into After Dark.
Whoa, no. You go the opposite. We need you sloppy tonight. If you know, for those people that are not Patreon subscribers or happen not to have watched last week's After Dark, you would have noticed that one of the subjects that we started to tap on and then reeled back was we're going to be sharing our virginity loss stories in After Dark.
It's going to be a good time. Billy asking if that's a sour. No, that is not a sour. A lot of people pointing out the new graphics. Yes, we do have some new graphics to play with. I do like how they look. I didn't know if I would, but we're playing around those. We can also do it in a block style, but I think we
prefer
bubble style.
Yeah. Have
you seen it? Are you changing your mind?
It's a crisp. I'm not a fan of the blocks.
Okay. So we'll stick with the bubble for right now.
You know why? Because the edge of the bubble reminds me of a woman's breastesis.
Fair enough. People are noticing also the bandage on your arm. Did you give blood today, Brian?
This?
Yes, that right there. Did you donate? Was it a plasma donation day?
It is so nice to know that, you know, you know, when you give a little of yourself for society as a whole and you take time out of your very important day, simply because as you walk through the streets with your antibody filled blood. Anyway, yes, I donated 810 milliliters of my convalescent plasma earlier today. Nice. at the kind folks over at the New York Blood Center. A lot of states are paying for convalescent plasma, not New York. I got a small can of apple juice, a bag of pretzels, some Oreos, and was told to get the fuck out of there.
You're just doing it for the good of humanity. So kudos to you. But in the meantime, let's keep things moving here with This Week in Racism.
This week
in
racism.
And horrible stories again this week, starting in Edmond, Oklahoma. A white teacher at Heartland Middle School is under investigation after allegedly berating a black student over his choice of t-shirts. Seventh grader Latrell Taft was wearing a t-shirt that said Black King when his teacher commented that if she had a t-shirt that said White Queen, it would be considered racist. And then she went on to say that we apparently need a White History Month. Latrell said what was additionally disturbing was the number of his classmates that agreed with the teacher. Latrell's mother, Melissa Shirley, said that she was initially brushed off when reporting it to the school district, but the district eventually ended up scheduling an emergency meeting with her. Going upstate New York, Glens Falls to be specific, a public forum in Glens Falls was cut short after people disrupted the meeting with racial slurs. The Zoom conference was held to discuss the city's proposed police reform plan. Right after it started, some people began using the N-word and making other inappropriate comments. Those people were thrown off the call, but more kept joining. The city ended the meeting and planned to reschedule it. We all know upstate New York, pretty racist.
Where are you from, Ron?
Schenectady, very close to Glens Falls, New York. So I'm aware of the folks in Glens Falls. But we also have a story right here in Philadelphia where I am. A menu item at a Roxborough restaurant sparked outrage in the Asian American community. A mac and cheese dish at Lenny's Hoagies is titled COVID Mac and is described as homemade mac and cheese topped with Chinese chili garlic sauce. A flurry of complaints about the racially insensitive menu label was brought to the attention of Jerry Wan, who runs an Asian American focused media company in L.A. He says he called the restaurant to complain and was told, quote, we've been using Chinese chili in our food for a very long time, so I don't know what the problem is. The restaurant has since removed the item from their menu. And then going out west to Henderson, Nevada, Foothill High School is investigating after one of its students appeared in a viral photo holding a sign that made an inappropriate joke about the death of George Floyd. The picture appears to be part of an invitation to a school dance. In it, a female student holds up a poster board that says, "If you went to Sadie's with me, it would take my breath away." Taking up the majority of the sign is a hand-drawn picture of Floyd with his name written in large print along the side, just to make sure the reference is clear. The school and district said in a joint statement, "Foothill and Clark County School District will not tolerate racially insensitive behaviors that contradict an inclusive community and impact the school culture of our students. We assure you the issue is being addressed." Just a reminder, a couple weeks back, the LAPD also caught heat for sending around a Valentine's Day card saying, "Valentine, you take my breath away," with photos of George Floyd as well. So lots of fun in police manslaughter, apparently. We do have a couple of rewind stories this week also.
Racism Rewind.
So this is going back. You know, we were just talking about how long we've been doing this podcast. This was actually one of the first This Week in Racism stories we did. We covered the story of Umo Kanoti, a sophomore at Smith College, that claimed a janitor had called security on her when she was in a closed lounge because she was Black. However, a 35-page investigation carried out by an outside law firm found no evidence of discrimination. The findings were issued in October 2018, but not widely reported. The incident began when Kanoti went into a cafeteria that was reserved for a summer camp program. Cafeteria worker Jackie Blair reminded Kanoti that she was not supposed to be in that area, but then decided to drop the issue. A janitor who was in his 60s and had poor vision then noticed a figure in the distance eating in a closed-off lounge area of the dorm. School guidance called for employees not to confront strangers on their own, so the janitor notified security about the person. A security officer then drove over and engaged in a polite conversation with the student, who recorded the encounter on video and later posted to Facebook. So tough finding follow-up. So that's, I guess, a neutral situation. Maybe not exactly what we thought it was in the beginning.
Yeah, it still feels like there was something wrong going on there.
And also last year, we discussed the story of Daniel Prude, a Black man who was having a psychotic episode, which resulted in his brother calling the Rochester, New York police for help. Instead, the officers handcuffed Mr. Prude, placed
a mask
over his head, and pressed him into the pavement until he lost consciousness and later died. It later appeared that the Rochester police attempted to orchestrate a cover-up by changing police reports and withholding evidence from the Prude family attorney. This Tuesday, the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, announced that none of the officers who arrested Mr. Prude would face charges in connection with his death. A grand jury convened by James to investigate the case declined to charge any of the seven officers on the scene that night with a crime. James was blunt in acknowledging that she had hoped for a different outcome. Quote, "The criminal justice system has demonstrated an unwillingness to hold law enforcement officers accountable in the unjustified killing of unarmed African Americans. What binds these cases is the tragic loss of life and circumstances in which the death could be avoided." AG James said that she planned to meet immediately with the Prude family, as well as the family of a 9-year-old Black girl who was handcuffed and pepper sprayed by police in the back of a police car in Rochester last month. Yes, all that took place in Rochester. And then in an unusual move, a Monroe County Court Judge Karen Bailey Turner on Tuesday evening granted the Attorney General's request to release minutes related to the grand jury's investigation, records that are generally protected under seal. Quote, "The public deserves to know what transpires behind closed doors. The date to make the documents public has not been set. And the Federal Justice Department is also saying it would review the case, raising the possibility that it could open a civil rights investigation into the officers who restrained Mr. Prude, something it has done in other high-profile killings of Black people in police custody." This has also resulted in a few nights of peaceful protesting in the city of Rochester over this decision.
It's nice to see peaceful protests, because the last time we had a protest, it was far from peaceful. In fact, MAGA idiots stormed the Capitol.
Talking about the insurrection in the U.S. Capitol, that one?
That was a peaceful protest led by Antifa. It's it's nice to know now that the people can march peacefully.
Yes, exactly. All right, what's next up on the docket? Oh, that's right. It's time to air our beefs of the week.
Ron and Brian's beef of the week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Facebook, Ron. Facebook. And not just any Facebook, specifically my Facebook.
Okay.
Now, you follow me on Facebook. We are mutual friends. Once a year, I get that annoying reminder that you and I have been Facebook friends for 3 years.
Our friends' anniversary.
It shows some stupid headshots of us circling each other. My headshot goes down head first. Yours mounts me from behind, moves up and down for about 45 seconds. I cry while chewing a pillow. And then it says, would you like to share this onto your wall? I'm like, no, not interested. I have the memory. No. Anywho, this was the week, but I'm sure you have come to learn that my Facebook is not a location to be taken seriously.
You would think most people would realize that by now.
It is an opportunity for me to just express my desires to just show the wackier side of my brain. This is the week that my coworkers discovered my Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I got 4 invitations from different coworkers, some senior management of my firm. Not identifying who.
Right.
But let's just say it's made me a little uncomfortable. And I'm not sure what the heck to do. I'd like to behave professionally in the office. People know I'm a little weird, but I'm I try to keep that under control in the workplace. That's where I make my money, that pays my bills.
Sure. Exactly.
Facebook is where I kind of release the steam valve, and that's, where I get to troll local neighborhood groups, whether they be suburb of Philadelphia, whether it be my local Queens, New York group. Anywho, now I'm stuck with this quandary of what the hell do I do? Because there must have been a conversation, people, because it's not a coincidence that the same night,
all of them
4 people reach out. Some of these are people that I'm familiar with. Some are not so familiar with. And I don't feel I can ignore it. Because ignoring is basically saying, I don't think I can ignore it. But I also don't want them seeing what I post on Facebook.
Right.
That's my beef of the week, Ron. I don't know what to do. I've done nothing so far. In essence, I have ignored it. It's only been 24 hours.
I mean, I would ignore it as well. I mean, the only other thing you can do is friend them all and then create a filter on your Facebook that would just not show them particular posts.
That's what I was thinking about doing.
But then you have to go back and you have to put them on all the posts previously that you wouldn't want them to see.
Like everything having to do with the podcast?
I mean, if you want to really hide the podcast, it makes it a challenge.
I've done such a good job so far. For the past 144 weeks, I've done pretty good. So in the grand scheme of things, that's my biggest complaint. It's pretty good.
My vote, you do what I have done in the past and I just ignore it. Like if you go to my friend request thing on Facebook, you will see multiple friend requests that I've literally done nothing with.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you just ignore them? If I get a friend request from somebody I don't know and I don't want to be their friend, I'll just I'll reject it.
Yeah, no, if it's a random friend request, yes, I reject those. Okay. But I have people that have reached out to me and I'm just like, I really don't want to reconnect with this person, but if I just turn it down flatly, it becomes a thing. And then you can just feign ignorance, like, oh, I never check my friend requests. Because I don't think anyone at work is going to press you on it. Like, I feel like because it was such a coordinated effort, it would be too obvious if they start following up with you.
But yet, the devilish part of me is thinking I should, accept 2 and reject the other 2. just to create even more chaos.
that would create chaos. So
there's part of me that wants to do that. So it's been on my mind for the day, and I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what to do.
I would say, and I think Johanna is with me on this. She said, just ignore. I would agree with that. Just ignore it. Just leave them, okay. Leave them there. My beef of the week, Brian, is with
Ron.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes.
What's your beef of the week?
My beef of the week is with the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission, Brian, I had to travel to Syracuse, New York on Monday for work, and had a little bit of snow. Was not a surprise. I think it was snow that was in the forecast for a while now. And as we drove the 2 hours up the turnpike, actually, which turned into about 3.5 hours because of the snow on the roads that they did not bother doing anything with. Did not see a plow truck out there. Did not see any sand salting prior. It was a ridiculously stressful drive and double the amount of time it should have taken. For the amount that you pay to drive on the turnpike, they should literally have people out there hand shoveling the roads because it's ridiculous. And I was very, I was a little pissed off about it. So that's my beef.
Sounds legit. I mean, your physical safety was endangered.
Not only the safety, but the future of this podcast was really jeopardized. And I think that's what I took more to heart, was the fact that, you know, we might not have been able to do episode 144 and beyond.
Well, we would have been able to do episode 1 of the Brian and Dave Hill podcast.
Oh, you're always looking to replace me, you son of a bitch.
Oh, excuse me. It is you who is always threatening to replace me.
All right, true. But now that we're both 50%, it's a lot tougher for one to replace the other.
I to me, we have to find an impartial third party to break all ties.
We do. We do need to find a way to break the log jam. So we'll work on that. We'll work on finding a acceptable neutral third party.
I think what we actually do is hire a mediator.
You know what? I'm going to throw this out there. I would throw it to Billy. I think Billy might be the most neutral person in the audience.
We may want to save this for after party. I think Billy is neutral. I'm afraid that the power gets to his head.
Understood. He would just become.
I'm afraid that he starts that he starts to use it as a torture device for both of us.
All right, that's fair. All right, what do we want to talk about tonight, Brian? We've got some stories lined up. We've got of course, crazy this week. What's that? Did I say? Stocks.
Stonks.
So, hectic week in the stock market, to say the least. Up one day, down the next. It's been a roller coaster of emotions for the last 4 days. I am hopeful that Friday brings a return to green and a return to profitability. I did want to discuss the penny stock. If you're listening to the podcast, you have no idea why we're laughing. If you're watching the video, it's very evident to you. But regardless, you should always watch the video because you catch certain things that you don't do when you listen. But anyway, Brian, let's address the penny stocks that we recommended to people last week. I would like to, because you call me out on my shit when I don't do well. I feel had people invested in the penny stocks, they could have made themselves some money this past week. So
yes.
Let's revisit the two. The first one had been HQ Global Education, trading under HQGE. Last week, it was a little under 2 cents a share. Closed today a little over 2 cents a share. So that was about 11.6% increase. So you would have made a little bit of money investing in that. However, our favorite stock right now, LaborSmart, LTNC, last week was a little over a penny, closed today at almost 3 cents. That is a 134.7% increase. Had
one week.
Last week, bought heavily into this stock on the Friday after our show, you would have already doubled your money.
Ron, how many shares of that do you have?
I am holding about 200,000 shares right now.
I have close to 50,000.
I mean, it's a moneymaker. It is a moneymaker. Anyway, that's
okay. Songs. Now,
stonks.
Sorry, Brian. I feel I interrupted you. You were about to say something.
You did. Now, this is my issue with stonks.
Okay.
Is that we are, as part of this bit, highlighting your picks.
Yes.
Your, this is what to buy.
Yes.
What I'm not hearing from you is the follow-up on the stocks that went up for a week and then have slowly slid to levels lower than what was originally purchased at.
You know, Brian, as we often say, you need to do your own due diligence and determine your comfortableness with risk and your price target to get in and out of these stocks.
Okay. What I'm asking of you is, moving forward, can you be more communicative with, this stock is no longer worth, I've told you to buy it. I told you where I think it's going to go up to. This is where you should sell it at. But there should also be a follow-up, just like this week in racism, where we do, you know, racism rewind. There should be a stunk surprise. I don't know what word you want to come up with it, but it should be, hey, listen, this stock turned into a turkey. It's not what we expected it. Sell, take the L. You'll use the loss there to offset some other capital gains from winnings you're going to make on other stocks, and you can take whatever it is that you're getting back, and then you can invest in a more short-term winner.
All right, I will take your suggestion and go with
that. Because right now I'm sitting on a portfolio of about, I would say, maybe 10 stocks that came heavily recommended by somebody whose opinion matters to me, and I don't know when to dump this shit.
Okay. I will tell you this. I have not dumped anything from my portfolio because a lot of the stocks that are down were longer term plays, which I feel are still going to come up. And there are some that I am holding, waiting for them to get back up a little bit more so I don't take as much of a loss. But I get what you're saying. I can provide you with that extra information. I can hold your hand, if you will.
Okay, and see, this is the thing.
Give you a stock bottle and burp you afterwards. I can do it.
Oh, if you want, you can actually put the little bumpers on the side of the stock bowling alley to prevent me from being my own worst enemy. We know for a fact, based on my marriage history, that I will go down with the Titanic. I will wait till the last fucking minute to jump off that boat. I don't want to do the same thing with stocks. The very first stock you ever suggested that I purchased, not the first stock that you ever recommended, the first one I purchased, I literally took that stock from, it was what, 28 cents when I purchased it. I took it down into bankruptcy. It is now worthless.
Yes, you. That was Pacific Drilling, as we all know. That was not one of my, not one I pat myself on the back over. It was not one of my better picks.
And yet, in all fairness, you said that there were multiple stocks that week that you recommended. I picked Pacific Drilling. The other ones went up in value.
Had you picked Plug Power, that would have been about a 4,000% return in your investment.
I made the mistake. My problem is the fact that at some point I should have sold Pacific Drilling, taken whatever it was that was left, and moved that into something that had potential.
Right. You got a complete loss, and it is.
Yes.
Right. I will fill you in as I get ready to unload stocks.
Can you also fill me in when you are about to unload your load?
I will work on that too.
Can you play the theme song to take us out?
I can.
Stonks.
Billy makes a good point. I may provide stonk advice, but I will not throw a knife at Brian. Not as of yet.
Listen, I am a pessimist. I'm neurotic by nature. I believe at some point you may throw a knife at me.
Another good question coming from Johanna. Did you lose $900 in the stock market?
I'm still up, despite the tragic week that we've had. Can we agree that this has been a bad week for stonks?
Been a brutal week, especially in the volatile small cap market that we play in.
I am still up overall.
There you go. That's how you got to look at it. Why have you not broken out your new toy for the listeners?
Which toy are you talking about?
Not the sex toy. The other toy you got.
In a world where Ron is giving stonk advice and Brian has a bullhorn.
Who in their right mind gave you a bullhorn?
Nobody actually gave it to me. Let's just say that I located it and decided that it would be perfect for the podcast as I pop my peas. Popping, 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 peas, peas, peas.
Does that do any siren noises or anything like that? Or is it... All right, let's not use that one again.
You asked for it, buddy. I was not going to do that.
I did. All right, fair enough. Fair enough. This is breaking news. Janelle said she got your dad a vaccine appointment for tomorrow.
We'll have to talk after the show.
There you go. On After Dark, we'll be discussing vaccines as well as virginity. But in the meantime, I don't know. I guess she's got magic. Magic.
We'll talk. You know what? You know when we're going to talk about it?
On After Dark.
After Dark pajama party.
That's now, right.
Are you prepared with a costume change for pajama party?
We'll see. We'll see if I can get changed quickly enough. We'll see. I know you're gonna wear not a deep V, a turtleneck pajamas. I know that's how you roll.
I will leave this lovely T-shirt on, and I will wear my pajamas over it.
All right. Plenty of news today. Starting off with ex-U.S. gymnastics coach John Gettard. Earlier today, the Michigan State Attorney General unveiled 24 charges against him, saying that he had sexually assaulted and physically abused young athletes in Michigan. He was supposed to turn himself in this afternoon. He did not. Police went to his house to collect him, and he was found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Brian,
I didn't know that they had announced how he had done it.
It's been updated throughout the day. Initially, they just said he committed suicide. Now I am reading it was the self-inflicted gunshot wound. What was he saying? He was accused of basically human trafficking athletes, forced labor under extreme conditions. He was also hit with two counts of sexual assault against a teen in 2012, one count of continuing criminal enterprise, and one count for lying to investigators who have been probing Larry Nassar's sexual abuse of gymnasts. Of course, we know Nassar was convicted a couple of years back and is spending the rest of his life in jail. So, Brian, I told you earlier, I have mixed feelings about him killing himself. What's your take on the situation?
I am not... I think this is a great thing. I think this is a beautiful, amazing thing. He has saved us the burden of a public trial. He has saved us from having to, what's the word I'm thinking of? Created an environment where it's possible that he pleads to lower charges, where he possibly could be found not guilty or gets sentenced to less than the maximum. We've wiped it out, and he's taken the ultimate punishment, and he is no longer alive.
Okay. While I agree with you to an extent, like the world is better off without him in it, I do feel that there is a lack of closure for some of the victims, a lack of justice, and inability to confront him in court, like a number of Larry Nassar's victims were able to do at his sentencing. And also, you know what happens to, people who sexually abuse children in prison. He would have been abused himself for, the next 10, 15, 20 years. So
I would agree with
that. You missed out on that punishment for him.
You know what? I think this is nothing but good. You know, I think you would have to take the word of one of his victims to see what they would have preferred. Yes, he went out the coward's way. No doubt about that. But ultimately, I think this was a win-win for society.
Fair enough. Not saying I agree or disagree with you, but, you know, I always feel when they take the coward's way out, I don't know if justice is really served.
I've been taking the coward's way for probably about 48 years.
Also this week, Trump losing yet again in the courts, this time in the Supreme Court. Technically he didn't lose. They just opted not to hear his case about the Southern District of New York receiving his tax returns. So now, apparently, I'm not sure how many years of tax returns they were, but they have been turned over to the.
I think it was somewhere between 10 and 15 years.
It's a lot. So
No, this is the mother load of
documents. They apparently have brought in a firm that specializes in forensic accounting to start going through this and seeing what they find. So clearly, I think former President Trump's legal issues are just beginning.
That is, it'll be interesting to see what they can pull out of that.
What do you think they will find? Just off the
top. I don't know. Really? I genuinely have no idea.
Okay.
It's I would be very surprised if it is as damaging as a lot of us have come to hope for.
So you think it might be just a lot of smoke and not a lot of things there?
Yes. I just think that it's not I think there's going to be a lot of things that people are going to say, this is the smoking gun that he's going to be able to talk his way out of.
Okay.
Listen, that's my gut.
I mean, the New York Attorney's Office is keeping very busy because in addition to the Trump tax returns, they are now also investigating the case where Steve Bannon is alleged to have defrauded individuals that had donated to, I don't think it was a PAC, but it was some sort of a fundraising company that he had set up based off of Trump. And turns out they were spending the money on boats and travel and things of that nature. And he was pardoned by Trump prior to Trump leaving office. However, that only applies on a federal level. So, you know, the state of New York obviously can still go after Bannon for this, since it was the business was conducted over the internet. There's a number of states that could go after it. I mean, it's basically wire fraud at this point, and each individual state that he collected donations from could technically try to prosecute him over this.
Right, as they should, as they absolutely should.
Okay. So we will see. You know, it's I think what will be interesting to see is, you know, there has been a lot of financial documents that the Trump Organization have supplied over the years as far as being able to secure loans, responding to other lawsuits, things of that nature. So what the tax returns will allow them to do also is see if those documents were actually valid, or if those documents were fraudulent, if the information contained in them were lies.
Yeah, like I don't imagine that in his tax filings is going to be like, oh, here's $2 million I received from the KGB.
Yeah, I don't think
It's not going to be that level of direct fraud.
I don't think there will be anything. I mean, I guess for lack of a better word, like sexy or headline worthy. The news networks will be able to jump over. I feel that you will be looking at a number of financial crimes, potentially involving numerous numbers of the Trump family. That can only be proved based on, you know, what is in these tax returns.
Like, I do imagine there's going to be a lot of fraudulent claims in financial documents of the value that he's worth, the family's worth, loans, backup for loans that he then is reporting on his taxes as being worth far less.
And there was also money that passed back and forth between he and Ivanka that were supposedly for business purposes. You know, we'll see if what's because her tax returns have already been handled by the New York Attorney's Office. Now they'll be able to compare it against Trump to see if these line up. So I would love to see Ivanka get prosecuted.
I would actually love to see Ivanka getting railed by four guys.
But that's neither here nor there. Hang your head in shame, as you should. But more importantly, Brian.
Yes.
I have a question for you. What are you watching?
Oh, this week, the highly anticipated HBO documentary, Woody versus Mia. A first episode hit HBO Max.
HBO Max, yes.
I was about to say HBO Plus. It's a four-parter that they are releasing one episode at a time. It's very interesting. So the first episode, basically, they're establishing the relationship between Mia and Woody, the children that were in the picture prior to Woody entering Mia's life, the children that entered their lives as they dated for a long-term relationship. And then they start to discuss Woody's relationship, how he was interacting with some of the kids in a way that Mia was not very comfortable with.
Was Sudi one of those kids?
That is how they're ending. They end the first episode with Mia coming across a stack of Polaroids in Woody's apartment of a woman naked. Where even Mia, and it's being interviewed, says that these aren't even artsy Playboy photos. This is something you would find in a Hustler magazine. Now, I'm not sure if Mia is familiar with Hustler, whether she watched a lot of photography that was going into Hustler magazine. But when I was a kid, the difference between Playboy and Hustler was that Playboy was very closed legs, maybe slightly at an angle or whatnot, where Hustler was very much spread open and sometimes, how do I put this, further opened.
Okay. Wide. Gaping, if you will.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So that was the way Mia described the photos that Woody, her boyfriend of many years, had taken of her adopted daughter.
That is disturbing. We always heard about Woody having taken photos of Soon-Yi. I don't know that we really went into a description of it, and that is very disturbing hearing that description.
I'm hoping in episode two they actually show the photographs.
Somehow I don't think that
maybe they upload. She was 18 at the time in college, so this is not child pornography. I'm just thinking maybe they're uploaded to a public Dropbox or a Google Drive that can be shared over the internet. Yes, the word gaping just did not hit me right.
No, it should not.
I'm going to agree with that comment right there. Gaping did not...
Why I used it. The discomfort level I knew would be high.
You do have a very particular ability to make me uncomfortable.
I appreciate that. I take honor in that. And I,
yeah, that was very impressive.
To continuing to make you uncomfortable over the years.
Oh my gosh. You know, I want to be here when we're doing episode 441.
That's right.
You're making me uncomfortable.
Dominion Voting Systems this week filed a lawsuit against MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, accusing him of defamation by falsely accusing the voting machine company of stealing millions of votes in the 2020 presidential election. Again, they had already filed against Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani. They went with their magic number again, $1.3 billion that they are now going after the MyPillow guy for. They state several statements made by Lindell, including in media appearances, social media posts, oh yeah, and that two-hour documentary that he paid to have shown six times in a row on OAN.
Did you ever watch that?
I did not watch it. No, I didn't bother.
There's a masochistic part of me that wants to watch it just to see how off the rails it is.
Odds are you can probably find it somewhere online.
I imagine it's not. I thought it was on YouTube.
Would YouTube even allow it to be up though? If it's, I mean, if it's supposedly false election propaganda, would they leave it up? I mean, somewhere out there.
I don't know.
So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how these lawsuits play out. Do you think of the three, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Lindell, do you think any of them attempt to settle this out of court?
I think it all gets settled out of court.
Interesting.
I just think that there is going to be lawyers that will step in. The real question is whether he can afford a settlement.
It's going to be the question. He had said the other day that that by being dropped by retailers due to his Trump support has cost him about $65 million in sales this year. So that's obviously got to hurt a bit.
A little bit. What have I said for the past 144 episodes is that we are in a capitalistic society and allow your dollar where your dollar goes. That is the most powerful vote you have. That is the most powerful way that you can enact change in society. And that is to make sure that your money does not go to causes that you do not support. When Overstock.com was funding supplies to the ICE detainment centers down by the border, what did we do? We stopped buying, well, not all of us, Ron. I believe your wife was still continued to order from Overstock.com. When Wayfair was selling children for $28,000 in the form of furniture, what did we do? We stopped buying Wayfair. Well, except your wife, Ron. She continues to buy. But yeah. If the MyPillow guy decides that, you know, the week before Biden is to take office, that he decides he needs to run into the White House with legal papers that document why martial law should be called to prevent, Biden from taking the presidency. I believe you have every right as an American to sit there and say, well, then I am going to make sure that I am not buying a MyPillow. And I'll take it a step further. That if you're a retail chain and you're going to stock this, I'm not going to buy from you.
And that's what seems to be happening.
Boycotts, literally. Think of South Africa when the America when the America public became wise to apartheid back in the 80s. The Boycott South Africa movement. It took a couple of years after it really kicked off, but suddenly they. They dropped that that two-tiered state.
Now, what's interesting is that apparently Mike Lindell had posted that film about the Dominion called Absolute Proof on his YouTube channel last Friday. But if you go on his YouTube channel now, that video can no longer be found. So I don't know if it's a case of YouTube having taken it down or if, you know, based on this lawsuit, his lawyers was like, you got to take that down, Mike.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah. What I love is that he keeps saying that, like, we're going to, you know, sue me. I want my day in court. I'm going to present my evidence. But he's had all this time to present his evidence, and there's nothing.
And also, fun fact about the Rudy Giuliani lawsuit is that he managed to avoid getting served with the lawsuit for about a week. Like, he literally was, you know, having his doorman like check the sidewalk for, you know, servers. He was having like multiple SUVs
really
pull up. I mean, he was doing everything possible to avoid. So the man who was apparently, again, he was excited about being sued. He's like, oh, I can't wait for the discovery.
Hold on. He was doing this. I can't wait for the discovery.
but yet did not, you know, did not want to be found to be served with the lawsuit.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think Rudy is the one that I really can see attempting to fight this lawsuit.
But he that's because he's a lawyer.
He's got the hubris to do it.
He's the one who sat there and said to Trump, let me lead your defense in the courts, and actually continue to show up to courts to fight a legal battle that he was completely out of his league fighting. Ah, glorious.
Yeah, we'll see
how. And he lost. Did he or did he not lose every one of those cases?
I think there were, well, Giuliani lost all of his cases. I think in general, I think the Trump team won like one lawsuit, which was then overturned later on.
All right.
Just a ridiculous losing streak in the courts.
Well, who Brent, might have complained?
Ask you. Did you realize we apparently bombed Syria tonight?
What?
Yeah, we struck a site in Syria that was being used by two Iranian-backed militia groups following rocket attacks on American forces in the area over the past 2 weeks.
So we bombed the facility being used. Okay, I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Apparently President Biden said, let's take it out.
I think that we need to there's been this I can't say it's not really a cold war, but we absolutely have been at war with Iran for years. We just don't want it to escalate to the point where we have to put some real resources into it. Right. And, you know, they want to come after us. We'll come after them. It's
every now and then you just kind of got to, you know, put them back in their place.
The one thing we've learned about Iran since the 70s is you have to show them that you are not weak. And, you know, they've tested us on multiple occasions. You know, Clinton, you know, he was too busy catching head in the Oval Office to actually care about what was going on. We lost a lot of Marines in the Lebanon military barracks that got blown up. That was clearly Iran. The bombing of Pan Am 103 absolutely was Iran, not Libya. Ron, you got to save me. I'm going to keep talking, and I'm going to fucking.
I was going to see how much history of the United States you were eventually going to go through. So I will. We will move on to the state of Oklahoma. We're going to leave Syria behind. You can take
OKLHOMA, Oklahoma.
We're going to talk about Lawrence Paul Anderson, a man who was fortunate enough to get an early release from prison in January. So he celebrated this month by allegedly murdering three people. He confessed to killing his neighbor, cut her heart out, and then cooked the heart to feed to his family. He stabbed Andrea Lynn Blankenship to death, took the heart back. He was staying with his aunt and uncle. He apparently cooked the heart, quote, I'm quoting now, he cooked the heart with potatoes to feed to his family to release the demons. But instead of feeding it to them, he then allegedly killed his uncle, Leon Pye, and his four-year-old granddaughter, Chaos Yates, and then stabbed his aunt.
That's incredible.
This may shock you. Anderson has a long criminal record that includes drug convictions and domestic violence.
Anything about mental illness?
Nothing about mental illness, but I would think if you were cutting somebody's heart out and cooking it to release the demons, you might possibly not be in your right mind.
Yeah, that's taking it real far.
And so then
it's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable level of violence.
Yes.
Now, did he eat any of the heart, or was it just his family that ate it?
It doesn't really. I don't even know that he got to the point of being able to serve it to them.
No. You got served, bro.
I feel maybe he brought the heart out, and they realized amongst these fingerling potatoes was a heart, and I think that's probably when things went sideways, and he started killing his uncle and granddaughter.
Jesus Christ. That sounds like some level of mental illness.
There's
something he's operating with there. Now, it's also odd that it's happening in Oklahoma.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just didn't. Also, and I'm going to say this, and it may be inappropriate, that sounds like a white crime.
You would think, but yet.
But no. Not. No, he was not white. And we know white people tend to do that crazy kind of shit.
Yeah. White people do really, really crazy, sick stuff. But no, not this case around.
Can you please come over here so I can cut your heart out and cook it and attempt to serve it to my family? Thank you very much.
See, now I feel left out that I don't have a bullhorn.
If you go to a website called Amazon.com, I'm guaranteeing you that you can find a bullhorn.
All right, maybe I'll have to do that. And then my favorite story of the week involves a man in Arizona that authorities are accusing of going to extreme lengths to getting out of work this month, saying he faked his own kidnapping, bound his own wrists, gagged himself, and invented a story of treasure hidden in the desert.
When somebody's bound by the mouth and the hands and they're talking about hidden treasure, I'm not thinking desert, I'm thinking rectum.
Well, anyway, this is Brandon Souls. He was arrested last week and charged with false reporting to law enforcement. The police in Coolidge, Arizona, said that he put together a scheme they believe was intended to get Mr. Souls excused from his job at a tire store. Souls admitted during an interview with the detectives that he had made up the kidnapping story for whatever reason.
Is he married?
He's 19. I don't believe he is married.
Did he wake up and notice two credit card debit receipts from an ATM machine showing two $500 withdrawals?
No. Are you referencing a movie now?
I'm just trying to think of moments where you have made some terrible decisions.
Well, so apparently the police were first called back on February 10th, where officers responded to a report about an injured man in an area near some train tracks. When the officers arrived, they found Mr. Souls. His hands were bound behind his back by a belt and had a purple bandana stuffed in his mouth. And he told officers at the time that after completing an errand that morning, he returned to his home where two masked men abducted him near his vehicle, struck him in the back of his head, and knocked him unconscious. Why he didn't just call out sick, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah. Well, is it possible that maybe he's used all of his paid time off?
It's very possible, I suppose. But as it turns out, now he no longer works there anyway. So he did not get the ending that he wanted from all of this.
And I would also guess that he's probably just in a very embarrassed state. Like, how do you go to the bar with your friends like the next weekend? They all know. Everybody knows. This is national news.
I mean, I think I feel the worst for his parents. Or his family, because they're like, all right, our kid, not that smart.
What is your worst story about people calling out at work?
I don't know. I don't know that I have a good one. I mean, we again, not people that work for me. We would get a lot of people that would attempt to fake doctor's notes. That was always a big one.
Okay.
Like they would, you know, they would get a note from their doctor for something and then they'd white it out and they'd photocopy it and they'd fill it back in. But they would like one time they would put something so specific, like, you know, can't do any heavy lifting and also can't work Fridays and Saturdays.
And all right.
Like, all right, I get the heavy lifting. Not sure why a doctor would say you can't work.
Oddly specific. That's oddly specific. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that I've ever had anybody call out in a bad way. I did have somebody show up for work very late after a company party. And we knew the office was in Manhattan. She lived in Brooklyn. And when she called in late, she said that the traffic was really bad in the Bronx.
But she's in Brooklyn.
She had been spending a lot of time at the party with two guys that lived in the Bronx
together. Oh, well, that makes a lot more sense now.
And she showed up wearing the same clothes that she had worn at the event.
I will say this, when I was much younger, early on in my career, I was one of those guys that ended up calling out the Monday after Super Bowl.
At what point did you elevate your game to just scheduling to take that day off? Like, that's that, like, I know you don't see that move when you're 22.
Yeah.
I get it. But looking back on it, it's, yeah, just in January, look at the calendar, find when the game is, and then just schedule the next day off.
Yeah. When you get to your 30s, you wise up and you're like, I'm just going to take that day off. And then when you get to your 40s, you can't stay awake through the end of the game anyway, so it doesn't matter.
That's not true. You watched the whole game.
I did. But yeah, when
you know
I was...
Why? Because we had our incredible Ron and Brian podcast pool.
That's right. Oh, you know who else had some legal difficulties this week? Former Major League Baseball player, former New York Yankee, former Boston Red Sox, former, I think he played for the Marlins too for a little bit.
Very well may have.
Johnny Damon gets arrested in Florida for DUI, blowing over three times the legal limit.
And really a very bad mugshot.
Bad mugshot. Hair is a little messy. Could have used a shave that day. But
wife,
yeah.
Wife also got arrested at the same time for shoving the police officer.
Yes. Always good. Apparently had a blood alcohol level somewhere between 0.29 and 0.3, nearly four times the state limit of 0.08.
Not good. Not good, Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Johnny Damon.
Oh,
that was
God,
bad.
Did that hurt? I got to
Johnny Damon.
So Johnny reportedly told the officer, I'm a good fucking guy. And then said that he would perform a sobriety test because he is a, quote, big boy. So anyway.
Now, did the wife back that claim up?
That I don't know. And his wife advised against the breathalyzer. Damon agreed to the breathalyzer on the scene, which wasn't good for him.
Speaking of drinking and driving, Bruce Springsteen's charges, we spoke about it last week.
Yes.
The boss was arrested for drinking while under the influence for taking two shots of tequila with fans in a New Jersey state park back in November, I think it was, or December. Anyway, this week he had his initial hearing where the prosecution announced that they were dropping all charges against Mr. Springsteen, as I like to call
him. Not all. But he did plead guilty to drinking in the park. That was the only thing. And then they dropped his reckless driving and driving under the influence charges.
What is the punishment for the drinking in a state park?
A $500 fine plus $40 in court fees.
He's got that Jeep money. It is not a problem.
Well, obviously this came out right after the Super Bowl when his Jeep commercial aired, and they had pulled the Jeep commercial from the website, from the airways. Now that he has this cleared up, his Jeep commercial is now once again available on the Jeep website.
I actually thought it was a really good ad.
It was very nice.
The message of the ad was, hey, we need to start finding common ground. We need to start focusing on what we have similar as opposed to dwelling on what we have opposite each other. It actually struck me at the time of the Super Bowl when it first aired. I said, hey, this is a pretty good ad. I just hope that he hasn't recently been arrested for drinking in a state park.
See, you see these things and you see the whole vision, Brian. Not everybody does. You see the whole vision.
I can take a step back, take half a step up. I see the whole field. I'm like Tom Brady in the pocket.
And then we've got El Chapo's wife either arrested or turned herself in on drug trafficking charges.
Well, they announced they were charging her, and she turned. They arrested her when she flew into Dulles Airport.
All right, because I was reading earlier that she was turning herself in. So I don't know, maybe if she got out and there was additional charges.
I think they got her at the airport.
All right. Well, she is now being charged with participating in a conspiracy to distribute cocaine, meth, heroin, and marijuana, and also helping her husband, El Chapo, escape from Altiplano prison in Mexico.
And what was her husband's nickname?
El Chapo.
El Chapo.
El Chapo.
El Chapo. Yeah, I mean, from what the allegations are, and I don't know if this is the part of the criminal case against her, but apparently she snuck in a GPS device in one of her visits to El Chapo when he was in that Mexican prison so that he could bring it back to his cell, which enabled the people that were working on the tunnel to be able to know exactly where to go to be able to dig the hole that he would then enter into the tunnel on. Because they always wondered, how was it that they knew exactly where in the prison to dig underneath? Because it wasn't even just a tunnel, but there was a track in there that he was able to ride a motorcycle out on.
Right. I mean, it was a pretty elaborate escape plan.
Yeah, so they always were wondering how did the people that engineered the escape, how did they know exactly where to go? A lot of suspicions at the time was that there was an inside police guard who gave out that information. But now the thought is that she snuck in a GPS device.
Makes sense.
And now we know what happens when Brian actually reads one of the articles and doesn't just let Ron do all the work and just blindly reacts to articles. Brian read that stuff and did a little research on El Chapo.
Impressive. Have you ever been?
You know why? Because I watch Narcos, so I know who El Chapo is.
All right. Have you ever been in a Turkish prison, Brian?
No.
All right. Anything else for this week? We covered quite a bit. There's a lot of news out there. We didn't even have to touch on the COVID this week, which is nice. Except for the fact
that apparently
my dad has a vaccine shot set up.
My dad, I apparently. Update. Thank you to our listener and friend. My dad will be going to Citi Field tomorrow night at 8:15 for a shot.
Your dad, who unexpectedly made a cameo on video earlier tonight.
We're going to have to somehow isolate that video.
So those of you just listening to the podcast, you did miss the experience of Brian's dad just wandering into the shot and getting a paper and a coffee, I think.
It looked like what he was doing was getting cough drops, but holy hell, was that funny.
Listen, when you need a lozenge, you need a lozenge. That's all there is to it.
Listen, God, that was good. So what do we have coming up in 22 minutes?
We've got the After Dark, the special end of month pajama party where we let our Patreon subscribers join us live on the air. If you want to join us last minute, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Up in the upper right-hand corner, click on Become a Patron and join our Patreon. There's a bunch of different levels. There's a bunch of great free stuff you can get, and you can join us. Even though the After Dark is tonight, if you sign up right away, we can get you the link to get you and join us on the After Dark. It's a good time. We're looking forward to the pajama party. If not, we thank you for joining us. We, of course, will be back again next Thursday night at 8 p.m. for our usual broadcast. Brian, is there anything additional you'd like to say before we get on out of here?
I'm going to say episode 144, smooth as silk. Unfortunately, I don't have silk pajamas. I still have those same blue ones, which I will go put on. Maybe I'm going to open a window because it's a little warm in here.
A little stuffy. It's getting to be springtime. Weather's getting nicer. Temperature's grown. But in the meantime...
By the way, am I the only one that has noticed that it is now light out at 5 o'clock?
Well, yeah, no. It's staying later, which is a great sign. It means spring is right around the corner.
We are almost, I don't want to say we're done with winter because, you know, this was one of the most snowiest winters on record. Not the most, I'm not going to, but top 10 in New York. I can't speak for, you know, where you're located. But we are headed in the right direction and we're very close to some good times.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you all for joining us. For our regular podcast listeners, we're joining next Thursday. For our Patreon subscribers, we will see you in just a few minutes.